Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with your host, Brent McGuire. This episode is brought to you by the Locked On MLB podcast. Subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from. In today's episode, we are doing mailbag questions, getting into all of your Angels questions after we break down the Angels win from Wednesday against the Texas Rangers. We're going to talk about the fantastic start from Shohei Ohtani and obviously talk about the season-ending surgery for Anthony Rendon. But before we get into the episode, as usual, if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at BMags94. You can find the podcast at Locked On Angels. You can find my written work at Crashing the Pearly Gates. And if you haven't done so already, make sure to download, subscribe, rate, and review the Locked On Angels podcast, wherever you get your podcast from. So happy Thursday. Hope you are doing well. If you listened the last few days, you would have heard that we are doing our usual Friday mailbag for today's episode. I'm unable to do the podcast tomorrow, so this is going to be our last podcast of the week. And this feels like a good one to end on because there is a lot to talk about. So we have a lot of questions to get into. Some of them are related to what we're going to talk about to start the show today, but we are going to get into some of the Angels news, talk about the game, and some of the moves that happen prior to the game. So I guess we should just start this episode off with the negative news, kind of get that out of the way, although some of the questions do revolve around this news. And this was Wednesday afternoon from the Angels. They released a statement regarding infielder Anthony Rendon. Quote, Anthony Rendon will undergo season-ending surgery to repair a right hip impingement. Additional information will be provided as appropriate. End quote. So this is obviously not ideal, although I must say it's not all that surprising given how this year has gone for Anthony Rendon. There has just been nothing going right for him this year. This was the third time he ended up on the injured list. There have been multiple injuries that have placed him there. He did not necessarily look right when he actually was on the field. He was a below average hitter for the first time in, it's been quite some time. I mean, Anthony Rendon was one of the best hitters in baseball for a 3 to 4 year stretch. So he was clearly not right this year. And I'm not going to get too far into this because we do have some questions revolved around this. So I will save some of those thoughts for those questions. But yeah, I mean, it's obviously not ideal. You look at what Rendon has done for the Angels so far, and it's hard because last year in the 2020 season, we had the pandemic shortened season. He was quite good, didn't start off the year great, but he was productive for the Angels last year. But you couple the shortened season last year, a shortened season this year, and you basically have about 100 to 110 games of whatever production from Anthony Rendon. And it's obviously not what you want to see in a contract for a guy that's going to be getting paid a lot of money and was expected to be a big part of the Angels lineup. So the hope has to be that the production that we saw this year was really tied to Anthony Rendon dealing with injuries. And hopefully that's not a sign of things to come. The biggest worry you have is that he is getting older. Rendon has had injury issues in the past, although it did seem like he got over those leading up to the contract with the Angels. So I suppose we'll see what happens. This is probably the best thing for him to get him fully healthy for next year. And the hope has to be that he's going to be back at 100% next year and back to his normal production. So this was announced before the game. There was also a corresponding move to go with this. The Angels sent down Chris Rodriguez to AAA Salt Lake. It's nothing to worry about. They're trying to get some extra bullpen help for the next week or so. And it does sound like Rodriguez is going to be back up when they have a doubleheader next week. And the other move that corresponded with this was the Angels selected the contract of Packy Naughton. We've talked about him a little bit on the show. He's definitely not in that same tier as Detmers, Rodriguez, Adele, and Marsh, but he is an interesting prospect in his own right. We do have a question about him later on, but it does sound like Naughton is going to fill some sort of role within the Angels bullpen. I would imagine he's going to get some starts at some point, but yet another guy that is young, has produced in the minors, and is getting a shot for the Angels this year. This has kind of been a recurring theme for the Angels over the last couple of weeks. They've really decided it's time to give these guys a chance and see what they have. So that was all the news that came out before the game. And then the actual game itself was a pretty good one for the Angels. The Angels ended up winning this game 2-1. And this was a pretty straightforward game. Shohei Ohtani was fantastic on the mound yet again. Six innings, allowed one run, six strikeouts, and no walks. We've talked about this before. We've seen a very different version of Shohei Ohtani over the last month or so. And you look at his last four starts, 23 strikeouts to just one walk. This is the same guy that was walking 4 to 6 batters a game to start the season. And it goes back to what we've talked about numerous times on this show. I think getting Ohtani out there, letting him get his reps and just get acclimated to what it's like to be a major league starter every fifth day, or in the case of Ohtani, every seventh or eighth day, just letting him get out there, work through some of his issues, has really turned him into quite the pitcher. And I think it's really fascinating to see the version that we have of him right now. The strikeout numbers aren't quite as high, but they're still very, very good. And you couple that with a really good command, the improved command, and we have a very, very good pitcher on our hands. And I think what's been so exciting has been really everything about it. He's throwing more strikes. He's starting to use that cutter a little bit more. He's got a legitimate 5-pitch mix that he can throw for strikes. It's been really fun to watch. And the overall numbers as a pitcher are really good. A 2.93 ERA, 106 strikeouts, and 86 innings pitched. He's going to get some Cy Young votes if this kind of trend continues. And it's, again, just a testament to the type of year that he's had. So this was Ohtani's game. The bullpen came in, did their job. They got a scoreless inning from Austin Warren, from Steve Cishek, and Raisel Iglesias. Shut it down for the Angels. Offensively, not much happened in this game. This was there weren't many runs scored, obviously, evidenced by the two runs the Angels scored. One of those came on a wild pitch that Juan Lagares scored on from second base. It was a heads-up base running play from him, and that was the first Angels run. Second Angels run, Jack Mayfield, back-to-back games with a home run. That's his sixth home run of the season. He's really filled a role quite nicely, and that was basically it for the offense in this game. So a nice little win for the Angels. They are going to finish off the series on Thursday in Texas. They've got an 11 o'clock game, so it's a getaway game before heading back to LA to face off against the Los Angeles Dodgers. So let's get into a couple questions before we take our first break. And we can start with one about Anthony Rendon. I said we would come back to this. We've got to talk about it a little bit more. And I did see this question. This is from Jose asking, what are your thoughts on trading away Anthony Rendon? His signing has not produced anything worth his salary and reminds me of other big mistake signings the Angels have had, such as Vernon Wells, Josh Hamilton, CJ Wilson, Gary Matthews Jr., etc. So let me first address this by saying, I think you said the problem with trading him was really in the question itself. The signing has not produced anything worth his salary, which means other teams are definitely noticing that as well. So the chances of Rendon being traded are slim to none. It's a big contract. He hasn't produced super well so far. He's had some injury problems. He's getting older. All of the ingredients for a disaster. But in terms of talking about Rendon a little bit more, Yeah, I mean, it's in a weird spot, and I totally understand why Angels fans are a little worried. If I would be lying if I said I wasn't concerned about the injuries and the production that we saw this year. This is, unfortunately, something we've seen with the Angels before. They have signed guys, former superstars, that were pretty recently good, just kind of fall off into their early 30s and not produce at the level that you thought they were going to. The only thing I can feel optimistic about is the fact that he was dealing with injuries this year, and a fully healthy Rendon would probably be a very good player. But the big question is, are these injuries, were they a fluke this year, or is it a sign of things to come? And I think that's the biggest concern that you have to have about Anthony Rendon moving forward. So let's do one more question before we take our first break. This is from Zach asking, do you see the Angels getting a front of the rotation starter or going with what we have now? And do you see Adele starting next season in right field? So let's go for that first question about the Angels getting a frontline starter. Yes, absolutely. I think it would be foolish to not do that, even though the Angels starters have been extremely good over the past month. There's still just a lot of risk involved. I mean, Ohtani has been fantastic, but I don't know if you want to necessarily assume that he's going to be able to give you consistent innings and be your absolute number one starting pitcher. And Patrick Sandoval has been really good. Again, not denying that, but I do think that the Angels still have some depth issues within the rotation. I still think they need just one more big guy at the front of that rotation, if not two different guys. As we've seen this year, and it's an increasing trend in baseball, you can utilize six starting pitchers, and oftentimes you're going to utilize 8 to 12 pitchers in a given season. I don't think there's anything wrong with the Angels signing another starter. If you have a problem where you have too many good starters, that's something that the Angels should definitely welcome. So I would not be worried about having a crunch within the rotation. Some of these guys have options. Some guys can slide into a bullpen role. You're going to have to limit innings for guys like Reed Detmers and Chris Rodriguez next season, most likely. So I would absolutely go out there, be active on the market, whether that's signing a veteran starter like Max Scherzer or Clayton Kershaw or exploring a trade. That's something I would definitely do if I was the Angels. As far as the second question goes about Joe Adele, I guess we'll see. I think what the Angels are really trying to do over the next few months is evaluate what they have. Give Brandon Marsh and Joe Adele everyday at bats, and if both of those guys are producing or showing signs of improving as the season goes along, it's going to give you a better idea of what you have and can you depend on those guys as opening day options for next year. And if the answer is no to both of them or one of them, then you can go from there. But I do think at this point, Joe Adele is going to play for the rest of the season, and I'm not sure if he's going to be that guy for them on opening day next year, but if he produces, he absolutely will be. We're going to take our first break of this episode. When we get back, we're going to answer the rest of your questions. But first, let me tell you about Freshly. Dinner time can be chaotic, but with Freshly, it's easy. Their chefs take care of your meals a few nights a week and take the pressure off of you. Freshly offers chef-made, nutrient-packed, delicious meals delivered fresh to your door. No cooking is required. Your meals are always delivered fresh, never frozen, and they're ready to heat and enjoy in just 3 minutes. With new meals added each week, Freshly brings the convenience of chef-made, nutritionist-designed classics right to your kitchen. And right now, Freshly's offering our listeners $40 off your first two orders when you go to freshly.com/lockedonMLB. Again, that's freshly.com/lockedon for $40 off your first two orders. This episode is also brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all of the parts that you need. With Rock Auto, it's easy and you have access at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. This is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are always reliably low for every single customer. So if you go to rockauto.com right now, you can see all of the parts available for your car or truck. Just write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? So they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. So let's get back into these questions. Our next one is from Chloe asking, with the rumors of Packy Naughton getting the call, how do you project him in the majors? Is he a bullpen piece, starter, emergency outfielder a la Canning? Fun question. He's not going to be as good as someone like Reed Detmers, Chris Rodriguez. I think that's an obvious statement. That does not mean he doesn't have a role in the major leagues. I'm still looking at him as kind of a fringy reliever starter kind of guy. The secondary stuff is pretty good. Definitely makes up for the fact that his fastball sits in the upper 90s or sits in the upper 80s, low 90s, but he does have a good breaking ball, a good changeup. He's got a pretty good idea of what he's doing. He's one of those guys that seems to get the most out of his skill set, but there is a capped upside with him. And I do think ultimately he's going to be one of those guys that probably finds himself going up and down between AAA and the majors. And again, I hope I'm wrong about this, but I'm not sure the stuff is necessarily going to play as a legitimate big league starter, but it could work out of the bullpen. So again, like with many of these other Angels prospects they've called up, I would be giving this guy a chance, whether that's in the bullpen or the rotation. See what you have. This is a guy that's produced in the minor leagues. I would see what he has at the majors and just get an idea of what he can bring at the major league level. Next question is from Bucky asking, do you anticipate the Angels will make minimal free agent signings this offseason due to the plethora of pitching depth the Angels have now? A shortstop move seems inevitable, but it looks like the Angels have some rotation and bullpen depth. So I'm going to kind of refer back to what I said for Zach's question about the Angels getting a frontline starter. Look, it's really, really exciting that the Angels are getting this kind of production from their starters. It makes it all the more exciting that it's coming from a bunch of young guys. We're getting it from Shohei Ohtani, Patrick Sandoval, Jose Suarez. I mean, we've got Reed Detmers and Chris Rodriguez getting innings in the major leagues now. That's all extremely exciting, but it's important to note that for most of this season, for the first couple of months, last season, the years prior, the rotation was still an issue. And I do think that the Angels, to prevent that kind of worst case outcome from happening, like we've seen before, they need to go out and be active on the starting pitching market. And I think if I'm the Angels, I'm looking for mid to upper tier starters. I don't think going out and signing a back end starter is necessarily going to be the smart move to make, just because I think what the Angels do have right now is going to be better than anything you find like that on the market. But if you can go out and get a legitimate number one starting pitcher, if you can go sign a Max Scherzer or Clayton Kershaw, one of those guys, obviously that's great. But even if you go out into the trade market, try to make a move for someone, I do think the Angels need to bring another big starter in. And that doesn't even begin to address the bullpen, which is probably going to need some serious work. And I think over the next couple of months, the Angels are going to try to see what they have with some of these guys they call up. Packy Naughton, Austin Warren, just seeing if these guys can stick to just try to find someone to bring back for the bullpen next year, hopefully in addition to Raisel Iglesias. But back to Bucky's question about, you know, what they're going to do this offseason. I do think Bucky's right. I do think they're going to go get one of those big shortstops. I think that would be a real missed opportunity if they didn't go out and get a Corey Seager, a Javi Baez, Carlos Correa, one of those guys. I think it's too, or even like Marcus Semien, there are too many good options on the market, and the Angels just do not have that kind of option internally. And again, no disrespect to Jose Iglesias, he's not the kind of guy you want to bring back for next year and beyond if you have some serious ambitions of winning. So let's move on to our next question. This is from Ruben asking, what is your 2022 Angels rotation prediction? Follow-up question, thoughts on the rumored Brandon Marsh, Max Meyer trade, maybe revisit in the offseason. So let's first talk about the rotation prediction for next year. I think, as we've talked about, I do think that the Angels are going to go out and be active on the trade market and in free agency. I'm not exactly sure what that's going to look like right now. Again, it's really tricky because Clayton Kershaw, Max Scherzer, Zach Greinke, Justin Verlander, those are like the big names on the free agent market. And they're obviously going to be appealing at various different levels, but they're also older and there is more risk involved with bringing any of those guys in. But if you were going to go out and get a Max Scherzer and a Clayton Kershaw, those guys are still producing right now. That would be a big deal. So I do think the Angels are going to be serious about going out and making a move like that. But if I'm looking to what the Angels are realistically going to do, I'm going to guess they bring in someone like Marcus Stroman. They're going to bring back Alex Cobb for next year. I think they're going to go in thinking we do have some rotation options for the first time in quite a while, and they're going to roll out something like Shohei Ohtani, Marcus Stroman, Alex Cobb, Patrick Sandoval, Griffin Canning, Jose Suarez, Reed Detmers, Chris Rodriguez. I think they're going to try to go out and sign another legitimately good starting pitcher, but I'm not really willing to say they're going to go out and get an absolute ace just because it's kind of hard to do. As far as the second question goes, there was something recently about, so I'm reading from Fish Stripes, which is the SB Nation site for the Marlins, and it says, in an attempt to get long-term bats, the front office was close to pulling off a trade with the Angels before the trade deadline on July 30th. According to the Miami Herald, the Marlins would have shipped off pitching prospect Max Meyer to receive outfield prospect Brandon Marsh. So Max Meyer has a humongous arm, and if this was going to happen, it would have been an absolutely fascinating trade. As far as would I have done that trade? It's a really close one. If you look at prospect lists and see where Marsh and Max Meyer are ranked, it is eerily similar. I do think there's a lot of merit to say if you were to do a one-for-one trade, this would make a lot of sense. And you look at both team situations, it makes even more sense. The Marlins are stacked with rotation options, especially young guys, but really need some help on the position player side of things. And it's kind of the opposite for the Angels. Would I have done it? I don't know. I would have to look into this a little bit more. It's definitely an interesting one to think about. The Angels do have some outfield depth right now, but it is worth noting that with Mike Trout's injury issues, Justin Upton being a free agent and getting older, being a free agent after next year and getting older, some question marks about Joe Adell, Jordan Adams struggling in the minors, the outfield depth could look a lot different in a year now. So it does feel like, yes, they would be trading from a surplus position right now, but I don't know if that would be the reason why I would make that kind of trade. So for me, it's kind of a preference on which guy do you prefer? What kind of position do you prefer in a trade? I would probably say no, because I feel a little bit more confident that Brandon Marsh is going to produce and stay healthy just because he's not a pitcher. And I think we know very well that pitching is a very volatile position. So we're going to finish our last question with this is a really thoughtful one from Howard, who is in Finland, wrote a lot of really nice things. So I do appreciate all of the kind words from Howard. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but his question itself is really interesting. Every season for the last 10 years or so, the injuries have played a huge role in the failure of the Angels to make the playoffs. Even though the effects of these injuries are discussed by a lot of fans and the media, very little is said about why the Angels particularly seem to experience these problems, and many other teams do not. A couple of years ago, I seem to recall the trainers discussing a new approach to preparing the pitchers that they hoped would reduce the number of injuries. Other than that, I can't think of any mention of the possible connection between the approach of the trainers and the Angels players' tendency to get injured. Do you think the Angels' injury woes might be related to the approach of their trainers, either in the team's preparation for the season or the trainers' treatment of injuries during the season? So this is a very, very good question. I think it's especially relevant in the context of Anthony Rendon being announced of being out for the year due to season-ending surgery. So there are two parts with this, and I do think there are issues with the Angels. I think first and foremost, the Angels are having problems with keeping guys healthy. That's a problem that extends back the last 5 years or so. It is a little different this year in the fact that instead of it being just an absolute barrage of injuries to the pitching staff, we're seeing it with Mike Trout. We're seeing it with Anthony Rendon. We're seeing it with Jared Walsh, Justin Upton. And there's got to be something that's going on that has led to the Angels having these kind of injury problems pretty consistently. With that being said, I do think it's important to remember that this year especially, injuries are way up for obvious reasons. We had a shortened season last year. We're playing a full season this year, going from 162 games to 60 games back to 162 was a recipe for disaster. But that being said, the Angels have had these injuries going back quite a while. So there is a track record of these injury problems. And yeah, I think from an organizational standpoint, there has got to be some sort of change that leads to better injury prevention systems. And that is ultimately going to be a big deal for the Angels, especially in terms of a guy like Mike Trout or Anthony Rendon, which you just need those guys to be healthy. The second problem with the Angels' injuries, in my eyes, has been the inability to diagnose these problems and give like a good timetable for when these guys are going to be back in uniform. And I don't know if this is purposeful or not, but based on what the Angels tell the media through Joe Maddon and what they actually, how long these guys end up being out, there is a big discrepancy between what is being said and what happens. And again, I don't know if this is on purpose. I don't know if they're purposely trying to mislead the media and fans based on what we've seen so far this year. They've been wildly inaccurate. That could be one of the reasons. The other possibility is the Angels simply just are really bad at projecting when these guys are going to be back. And look, I'm aware that injuries can be weird. They're different for everybody. But when we've seen what's happened with the Angels this year, where a guy like Mike Trout is projected to be out for 6 to 8 weeks and instead is missing close to 11 weeks, that's a big difference. And the Angels have been really off on these injury projections throughout most of this year. So it does feel like there is something going on with their injury prevention and then their injury projection. Look, I'm not going to pretend that I'm a medical expert on this. I'm certainly not. But based on the outside looking in, the Angels have had these injury problems. And this year it feels more pronounced, especially when it comes to them trying to predict when players are ultimately able to come back. So really good question from Howard. I do appreciate you sending that in. We're going to take our last break of this episode. So let me tell you about Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing and you can track all of the action at Bet Online. Get all of the latest news, odds, and info for all of your sporting needs. So make sure to head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today at betonline.ag and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. So let's wrap up today's episode. A big thank you to everyone for sending the questions in. This was an especially interesting week of questions. I found these to be very diverse, interesting in very different ways, so I do appreciate the fun questions. As I've mentioned a couple times the last few episodes, this is our last one for this week. I'm unable to do Friday's episode, so we're going to finish off with a pretty positive note. The Angels have won two games in a row. We'll see what happens. The Angels have one more against the Rangers on Thursday before three games against the Los Angeles Dodgers at Dodger Stadium. Obviously, that is an extremely tough matchup, so we'll see what happens. But that's going to do it for today's episode. So as always, thank you for joining. Stay safe out there. We will talk some Angels baseball next week on Monday. This episode was brought to you by Locked On Bets. Betting on Major League Baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Just make sure to follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcast from.